We're skipping a bit now to Kina Tes Zayin. Tes Zayin is one of the easier ones to read. The whole thing really is a narrative, and it tells the story of Titus destroying the Beis HaMikdash, as it's told in the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin. The Gemara tells a very dramatic story about Titus going in to the Mikdash, that he went right into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he stabbed the Pareiches, and the Pareiches bled. He brought a Zayna with him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and was over in Avera, over there, and he mocked the Ribbono Shel Olam. Although then it says at the end of the Gemara that, I don't think this part is recorded in the Piyut, that eventually, Hashem, he said that, I'm stronger. Hashem can't beat me. Hashem defeated him with the smallest of his briyos. He had a tiny insect go into him, and he died from that. The piyut goes through. It's alphabetical, the second word of each line, with the first word going through also one of the prakim of the fifth parak of Eicha. Zechar asher asa tzar befinim. Remember what the enemy did within. Shalach charba yubal lefanim lefanim. He came all the way inside with his drawn sword. Achlasenu b'yeis ketim elachem aponim. He frightened all of us by violating the lachem aponim. The gider pareiches balas shteifanim. And then he stabbed the pareiches, which has the two different faces. Yisemim giel b'magin ma'adam. He frightened everybody and repulsed everybody by drawing blood from the pareiches. He came out with his sword dripping with blood. Again, like the Gemara says, that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allowed him to have the sense that he was killing kaviyachal the very olam. He came to wage war and be victorious over the Bari Olam. And he said, Mitzrayim v'cholayim im bam gavar. God may be strong, he was able to defeat Mitzrayim and other nations, but I can come right into the heart of his stronghold and stab him in the neck. Back in the day, even the greatest among the Yidin, if they brought a fire that wasn't authorized, they were consumed by fire. Right? Referring to the Ma'aseh of Nadav and Avihu, that's Zara, the Eish Zara, when they brought it in, Bachurav, the choicest of Klal Yisrael, Achla Eish, a fire consumed them. V'zeh. And look at this guy. He did all the filth imaginable, and he was not scalded by the fire. Skip down a few more stanzas. It says go to Mem again. Second word on the line. Begins with a mem. The first word in the stanza is bachurim. Bachurim v'chutz tzogum v'chuzakim. The yidden were standing on the outside, the youngsters, and they felt confident. V'seru ki yuzak v'shishim yibim azikim. And they said, "Oh, look what's going to happen now. He's going to be demolished. Hashem's going to send 600,000 things to destroy him." But zekenim nivasu ki hirshu mirshakim. But the elders, they were more scared because they saw that permission had been granted from heaven. To allow Titus to do his whatever he wants, and Vahu, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam, would be as if he was tied up with chains. Shavas Satan Vayavai Admoin. The Satan refers to Nebuchadnezzar, and that danger was put aside, but then Edoim came, and he surrounded the wall and interfered with the Bnei Yisrael. Nafla Evral Nine Pitzel Lach V'Luz V'Armoin. Pitzel Lach V'Luz V'Armoin is a phrase that refers to Yaakov Avinu, the mice that he did with the sticks. So the anger fell upon the offspring, the grandchildren, the ninim of Yaakov Avinu, who was Pitzel Lachaluz Amoin Ad Kinutash Midek Armoin. Al Pesach Harabayit Hechel Avoy, he started to attack the Harabayit Biyat Arba Rosh Tafsra of Lacharivoy, and he appointed four generals to attack the four different sides. Al Tzad Maravi Lezecher Hisrid Boy, Mitzoga Harkaslein of Lacharivoy. The Paitan refers to what it says in the Medrash, that the general that came to attack the fourth side never followed through. He did not follow his orders, and the fourth side remained standing. It's the west side, the Tzad Maravi. That's the Kaitzel Maravi. Ata katzafti v'hirshetze lefanois, you, Rebbeinu Shleilam, in your anger, you allowed him to remove from the Beis HaMikdash yeladim ashim b'hem kalmum misham lahafnais, to abduct children from Yerushalayim and ship them. Lama rug shugayim v'lo yishat el amincha penois v'shilchum be'eretz utz b'shalish svinois. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to our tefilos, and he allowed Titus to send these children three ships full headed for a foreign land. Hashiveinu shivu kivo b'nivche yom. They cried out to Hashem, Hashiveinu, when they were in the midst of the sea, when they became aware that they were being exported for purposes of Aveira, v'shitfu asbam yachad lunpo bayom, and they all joined together and decided to jump overboard. Shir v'seshpachos sheiru kal yom. They sang songs as they jumped overboard. They had the privilege of dying for Hashem's honor in the depths of the sea. The depths covered them over. And now that's the end of the story with the 300 youths. And then the Paitan ends off. We endured all of this. We didn't forget that. It's the real Rebbeinu Shleilam that has substance. Tikvasam nasnu l'meishim mibashan. They're going back to the children that jumped overboard. They placed their hope in Hashem that He would return them from their death in the yam. They would be zeicha to tchias ameisim uvatska nishma. And a voice was heard, Ura Lama Sishan, that urging Hashem to wake up and to see their suffering. So it tells the story of Titus, his attack on the Beis HaMikdash, and then the whole ending is about the Maisa with the children that he sent on the ships, and they all jumped overboard, so as not to be used for Avera purposes. You know, when we read this unthinkable acts that Titus did in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it would really seem, I think most people would take the liberty of assuming, you can't have a more audacious violation, attack against the Rebbeinu Shleilam than what Titus did. He stabbed the Pareiches till it bled. He brought the Zayna with the Sefer Torah. He opened the Sefer Torah as the, right, we were talking before about how even that is too unthinkable. He opened the Sefer Torah on the floor. He went on top of that with the Zayna in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where Nadav and Avihu couldn't even survive stepping in unauthorized. And look what he did. And one would really think that what's the worst attack that anyone ever made against the Rebbeinu Shleilam was what Titus did. Reb Chaim Volozhiner tells us that it's a very big mistake. It's not the worst attack ever against the Rebbeinu Shleilam. It's not even close. And he explains, I'm going to give a mashal to explain the point, a very, very powerful point that Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Nefesh HaChaim, is in Shar Aleph, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalid. A mashal ma'adav v'doymeh. Imagine that there's somebody who He lives in the United States of America, and he hates the United States of America, and he wishes ill upon the United States of America, and he wants to bring the downfall of the United States of America. He thinks that it's the big Satan and the little Satan, and it's all of evil. And so what does he do? He takes a flag, takes an American flag, and he kicks it. And not just that, then he spits on it. He spits on the flag. And then he stomps on the flag. And then, he's not satisfied with that, he starts tearing up the flag. And as he's tearing it, he shouts curses at the flag. And then when he's all done, he takes out his lighter and he lights it up and he burns that torn up flag. Wow! What a strong attack he made against the United States of America. Now imagine there's a second person. This second person is a very loyal, patriotic citizen of the United States of America who has devoted his career to protecting and helping the United States. And he's very talented, and he's dedicated those talents to the advancement and the furtherance and the protection of the United States of America until he reaches a very high position in the National Security Administration, the NSA. And one day, as he's sitting at his computer, and he's very tired because he's been up all night working to, it's a delicate moment. There are enemies of the United States and they're planning something, and he's like in charge of the whole defense against this attack. But he's been up for hours and hours and hours, and he falls asleep. He falls asleep at the computer, and now that very essential post at this very delicate time is unmanned. And because of that, the enemy is able to infiltrate. Or he's sitting one day at work and he spills his coffee into the hard drive of his computer. And he has all these sensitive secrets about American security, and he just wiped them out. Now, who caused greater harm to the United States of America? The first guy or the second guy? The first guy, what he did was meaningless. Nothing. And the second guy caused tremendous, tremendous, perhaps irreparable harm. In the mashal, it's obvious. Zakul Chaim V'Lajner, I'm going to read you his words. Chaim V'Lajner says, if a person contemplates his deeds, those that are improper, chas v'shalom, ad heichon heima magiim, how far they reach, lekalkil v'laharos b'chet kal chas v'shalom, that he has the ability to ruin with a small chet, harbe yoyser mimasha hechrev Nebuchadnezzar v'titos, far more than what Nebuchadnezzar and Titus destroyed. Ki haloi, Nebuchadnezzar v'titus le'asu b'maseyim shum pegam v'kilkul klal lamala. Titus and Nebuchadnezzar, the terror was not given to them. The koyach that their maisim should affect world events was not given to them. And so with all of their evil, they didn't do anything that produced any effect lamala, up above. They have no part and no share in the upper world. That they should be able to affect it. One kihuzeh. Rak. What really happened at the time of the Churban Shebachatainu? The terror was given to us. That means that the workings of the Olam Yisrael Yoinim, the connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his world, the level of Ruchnius in the Olam Hazeh, is commensurate to our maisim, which with our maisim toivim, we're, in the terminology of Chaim V'Lajner, we're boina olamais, and with our maisim rayim, we're machrev olamais. And the idea seemingly is that the connection between the olam haruchni and the olam hagashmi becomes stronger when we do mitzvahs and becomes weaker when we do aveirais. So b'chata'inu, with our aveirais nismai to toshke v'yachal koich gvur shalmala, we weakened that connection up above. As Mikdash Hashem Timu Kviyochel, Mikdash Elyon, we were metame with our Aveirais, whether they have a deserg, that the Gemara knew we're talking about by the Mikdash Rishon, or the Sinas Chinam that the Gemara talks about by the Mikdash Sheni, we were metame the Mikdash HaElyon. That enabled that Nebuchadnezzar and Titus should be able to come in and destroy the Beis HaMikdash down below. Chazal say, it's a Rashi in B'Shalach, that the Mikdash Shalmala is Mechuvin Keneged the Mikdash Shalmata. Right? You read the Rashi, Parsha Pshat, it means, right? It's in exactly the same place. It's directly above. What does that mean? We're talking about in Shemayim, so there's no place. There's no geography in Shemayim. So what do we mean that the Mikdash Shalmala is directly above the Mikdash Shalmata? It means this. It means that they're connected. What happens down below, in a Gashmiistic sense, that's exactly what's happening up above in a Ruchniistic sense. So we were Metame, the Mikdash HaElyon, then the Ruchnetzer and Titus came, and they demonstrated that Chorban in the Mikdash HaTachtoin. Kamoi Sha'amru Chazal, a three-word quote from a Medrash, such a powerful line. The Medrash in Eicha Rabbah, Kimcha Tchina Tchinas, describing what Nebuchadnezzar did by Bavayis Rishon and what Titus did by Bavayis Sheni, Kimcha Tchina Tchinas, that they were grinding ground flour. If you have, right, the farmer gathers all of his wheat, puts it into the grinder and grinds up, makes it into flour. And then somebody else comes along and says, oh, I'm going to make this into flour. He takes that, all that flour, he puts it back into the top part of the grinder and it goes through it again and he's turning the wheel, so it comes out at the bottom. And he says, look, I only ground this flour. He didn't do anything. It came out exactly the same way as it went in. That's what Titus and Nebuchadnezzar did. They destroyed a destroyed Mikdash. Why was Titus able to get away with what he got away with in the Makam HaMikdash when, like the Python says, Nadav and Avihu, look at the count, look what happened to them, look what happened to him, look at the contrast. Had nothing to do with Titus. The contrast was that he was going into an empty shell of a Beis HaMikdash. They were going into the real Mishkan. The Kvod Hashem Malei Yasa Mishkan, but the Kvod Hashem was already gone when Titus came in. So this Maisa of what we're reading now about what Titus, what he was able to, so to speak, to get away with, is a very powerful reminder of the Koyach of our Maisim. And the same way Rav Chaim Elazhiner is making a very powerful point in Musar about being misbeinin on the power of our Maisim Asher Loi Toivim Chas V'Shalim, to quote him. But the same is true about our Maisim Toivim, that we, with our Maisim, we have the koyach to bring back the Maisim Mikdash as well.